This is Like Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Women typically first see an obstetrician or gynecologist, or OBGYN, in their early or middle teens and continue on well after childbearing years. OBGYNs provide an important part of women's health care, but many hospitals don't have an obstetrics unit. According to the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health, 11 rural hospitals in Wisconsin stopped routinely delivering babies in the past 10 years. And it's even worse outside of the state. 56% of rural hospitals in Wisconsin still perform routine deliveries, but nationally, it's only 40%. But out of 35 rural hospitals in Wisconsin, 5 are at risk of ending service. Dr. Sheldon Wasserman says this puts the state on the edge of a crisis. Dr. Wasserman is an OBGYN at Ascension Columbia St. Mary's and the chair of the Wisconsin chapter of the American College of Gynecologists. He joined me by the phone to explain how these rural obstetric closures affect Wisconsin's overall health.
It's a concern because, you know, Wisconsin has both an urban and a suburban and a rural feel to it, you know, and a flavor to it. And we have a population that's all over the board. And providing basic services such as delivering babies should be available to all of our citizens of our state. Right now, we're still doing better than the national average, but it's potentially changing, and that's where the real concern is. You know, what's our future? And if we look at some of the other states, we're seeing problems in other states, and we're potentially seeing those problems in Wisconsin.
And what role do rural hospitals play in their communities overall?
Oh, they're critical. A rural hospital is really the lifeblood of a community, because if you lose that hospital, how do you recruit industry? How do you recruit business? How do you retain businesses, let alone the economic driver that hospitals are critical? You have to say to yourself, do you really want to live in a community that doesn't have a hospital? And let alone, do you want to stay in a community that has just lost a hospital? And even have that community lose its obstetrical services. If a hospital loses its obstetrical services, it's also leaving out and really losing its future generations. One of the biggest introductions to hospitals by families really is a woman having a child. It's really where she's introduced to the hospital, introduced to what a hospital local staff has to offer. And, you know, everybody knows where they were born. They know which hospital they were, if they don't know it themselves, their mother's telling them that, or their father's telling them that, the community's telling them that. So you're proud to be born at your local rural hospital. You're proud to be born at your main hospital anywhere. So their loss of even the obstetric services and that closure is just, people have to go somewhere else. And then it's like, why go back to the hospital when you can't even deliver your baby there? You know, what good are they? You know, maybe the other hospital where I deliver my baby at might be better. Having a baby is expensive. They try to give it as it's expensive for the hospitals to provide, but really brings and solidifies that lifelong relationship between the woman in the hospital, her family in the hospital, and the community with that hospital. So the loss of obstetric services is just devastating.
Yeah, and what factors are commonly leading to closing an obstetric unit compared to a hospital, say, cutting other services that it may provide? Why is that the first to go?
Well, it's the first to go because it's expensive. You have to maintain staff, and we don't know when babies arrive. You know, the first question I'm always asked is, when's my baby going to be delivered? You know, I cannot tell you, as an OBGYN, over my 25-plus years of taking care of women delivering babies, have I been asked to know. I want to know the time and date when the baby's coming. Well, obviously, it's impossible. So what hospitals have to do is they have to provide enough staffing to have that availability to occur at any time of the day or night, 7 days a week, holidays included. And it's very, very expensive to have a nurse just sitting there waiting for a woman to go into labor and to be ready for her. So right off the top, staffing is critical. The other part of it is maintaining a certain amount of volume is also critical, because staff need to practice. They need to practice their craft. So if you're working as a nurse and you don't have that many patients, and all of a sudden something really bad happens, let's say that rare problem, that rare disaster happens, and you're not trained for it or you haven't seen it in years and you're not ready to deal with it, all of a sudden you really have a disaster in your hands. So it's expensive to maintain, to keep staff, maintain staff up to current standards and up to modern standards. So hospitals really look at it as like, this is expensive, let alone you do get reimbursed a good amount, but it's not the best amount for those type of conditions. Let alone the equipment can be expensive, and you know, sometimes some of the postpartum hemorrhage situations can be very serious. They can be expensive. The drugs that can be used can be expensive. So it, it really becomes a host of problems, but a lot of it has to do with manpower, or I would say women power, in trying to staff these hospitals, trying to keep them updated and keep them viable.
You mentioned there's risk in delivery, potential complications after birth if you're in one of these hospitals that doesn't have a staff that is fully grounded. But are there not also risks of having to travel extra if there's an emergency after birth? Say if you are someone who is pregnant and your rural hospital is shut down, so now you have to travel perhaps an hour or more to the next major hospital.
You know, it is a very serious issue that you raise, and it's a situation where it becomes a life-threatening situation. If your baby's being prematurely born, you know, you go into early labor before your time, or you're in that hospital, all of a sudden you have this massive hemorrhage, you know, that hospital experience cannot be like what's happening in a, you know, major tertiary hospital, such as the Medical College of Wisconsin at Frederick or UW-Madison. Or we have these larger tertiary care centers with specialists, you know, with advanced specialists besides just OBGYNs. It's a different standard, and that standard should have, you know, we can't have everything at every hospital, but at the same time, it should be a basic safety net. So that woman driving, let alone in a storm, in a winter environment, you know, such as everyone in Wisconsin's used to, we have a big blizzard getting by, going on. I mean, how do you get that hospital? And the sad thing is that, you know, babies can die in these situations. You know, mothers, you know, very rarely, maternal mortality is very low in the state, but it is going up around the rest of the country. And, you know, we're one of the very few, the only industrialized country that maternal mortality is going up. And it's not to scare your listeners, but we actually have 6 to 7 deaths a year. It's about 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 20,000 women delivering a baby can die and do die. But transport to the hospital, you know, the long distances involved, you know, lack of preparation, lack of, no hospitals that can take care of these emergencies really become a problem for Wisconsin women.
Would you say this is turning into a crisis? You mentioned Wisconsin fares a bit better compared to the national average, but with, it seems, the way things are heading towards, you know, is there cause for a greater alarm that perhaps people aren't really aware of?
Yes, that alarm is being sounded. You know, that canary's beginning to not move as well in that coal mine. So basically, we have a problem developing. It's developing slowly, but 11 hospitals closing in these 10 years. If we lose these next 5 hospitals, if the other 30 of these rural hospitals still providing obstetrics in Wisconsin start ending their services, we're going to have a real problem. And what these hospitals also need is, you know, Medicaid reimbursement. They need to be able to receive funds that are adequate for the cost of their services. And that is the problem. You know, charity care in Wisconsin is very large. And, you know, right now, the largest in the Milwaukee County area, the largest payer of obstetric services is the state of Wisconsin Medicaid program. And they don't pay as well. And they do pay in these rural communities, let alone people with no insurance. And the Medicaid rates in some of these rural communities is very low, and they need to be higher. So, you know, not getting political, but Medicaid expansion is, you know, we're a state that doesn't have it. And the Hospital Association has been pushing for it. It's just another part of the driver in this, you know, constant variable situation that's changing marketplace. Because rural hospitals shut down their obstetric services for one reason. They can't financially pay for it. And when a hospital administrator looks at it, you know, looks at it from a, you know, dollar cents viewpoint, you know, they can't justify if these are the people having babies and this is what our, how much reimbursement we're going to get. I mean, how do I pay for staff? I mean, how do I do that? Let alone, do I close my emergency room where everybody benefits from? Do I close my operating room where the local appendix doesn't get taken care of, or the local operation for a gallbladder can't be taken care of? You know, where do we go as a hospital? Where do we go as a community, a rural community? And it really becomes a problem. So there is a crisis brewing. This is not really what we want as a state, and what we don't want is, you know, want for our citizens. So there are ways that we can avert it. I think reimbursements is going to be critical. That's first and foremost. And we as a state have to tackle this problem head on.
With the way hospital and care systems are structured, you mentioned the expansion of Medicaid needing to be a factor going into the future. Is there a viable solution, or does it come down to survival of the fittest if it just comes down to what is the most expensive program? Okay, that one's out.
Yeah, you know, it's sad to say, but, you know, if we don't get extra dollars into these communities, one way or another, it becomes survival of the fittest. It does. You know, you look at these hospitals that have closed around Wisconsin. You know, they've tried their best. I mean, you have, you know, it, you know, up in, you know, in the Green Bay area, Baylen Health, that's in the Oconto area, Burnett Medical Center, the Boscobel area has lost a hospital, Hillsborough area lost a hospital, you know, Ladysmith lost their Memorial Hospital. You know, you're looking at all areas. You know, Ripon, here's the birthplace of the Republican Party. They lost their medical center. They lost their obstetrical. But, you know, the birthplace of the Republican Party has lost their own birthplace. I mean, there's an irony there. I mean, it's just, there's a real problem taking place.
Do you think some rural hospitals would be considered unsafe to have a child in?
And that's a very serious question. I would hope the hospital can address that issue and close their issue or get money or be able to, you know, reshuffle priorities to be able to make sure they're safe. But at the same time, it goes back to the question you asked earlier. You know, what happens in that emergency situation? You know, during that blizzard, during that time where, you know, or that patient who's gone into labor right away, you know, you have to go somewhere. So something is better than nothing, but is that really what we want to do as a state? And is that where our standard of practice should become? Nobody wants to be in an unsafe facility. And we have a moral and ethical obligation to not let that happen on a routine basis. But it's a concern.
What message do you think this sends to Wisconsinites and, of course, Wisconsin women? And what do you want to see the message change to?
I think that health care in general, you get the national news on it, but the Wisconsin news is not as much. And I think that Wisconsin women have to talk to their legislators. They have to talk to their governor. They have to talk specifically to people who say, hey, I don't want Medicaid expansion, and say to them, hey, we need something. We need to keep our rural hospitals viable and to be alive. We need to keep obstetrical services. And I think that, you know, talking not only to legislators, but talking to local community leaders, from mayors to, you know, village managers to, you know, the local, you know, councilmen and aldermen, you know, making sure that the political leaders of their area are aware that obstetrical services are critical, and making sure that the hospitals, because they have friends and neighbors who work at these local hospitals, making sure that they know that it's critical they stay afloat, and that the administrators know that this is something that we don't want to give up as a community. We want safe obstetrical services, and, you know, we'll give up something else, or we want something else. But this is a priority of our community. This is a priority for our state, and, you know, we will back that with our votes. We will back that with our, you know, with our wallet. And, you know, it's something that we cannot give up as a community, because it really, you lose your birthplace in a community, you lose something. And you have to drive 30 miles away, you know, and that's what they're saying. Oh, just start driving. But you know, when you're in labor, and for every woman who's, you know, who's listening to this, who knows they're in labor, and sometimes who've been in labor, and even those who have not, in their husbands and families, we all know what a woman in labor is like. You know, at a certain age, it's scary, and it can be terrifying, especially for that first time family, a first time mother. You want something safe, you want something close, and you want to be able to know you always have your community backing you up. So I think making sure everybody's aware that this is critical, this is important, and talk about it. You know, just don't say anything. You know, saying nothing, people just don't know it. You have to talk. Get on social media and, you know, talk to your people. You know, talk to people face-to-face that this is important. We need obstetric services, and a 30-minute drive is not an acceptable route for having babies.
Dr. Sheldon Wasserman is an OBGYN at Ascension Columbia St. Mary's and the chair of the Wisconsin chapter of the American College of Gynecologists.